Good morning to everyone, and welcome to a results conference of Visa and its company for the third quarter of this year. We're joined by our CEO, Juan Emilio Posada, Gianvairo Arango, Chief Corporate Financial Officer, Juliana Suso, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, Patricia Castaño, Chief Strategy Officer, Cesar Ramírez, Chief Energy Transport Officer, and Eduardo Larrabe, Chief Roads Concession Officer. My name is Diana Cardona, Investor Relations Specialist. Today, we have the development by Juliana Suso of a special chapter dedicated to the management of ESG issues at ISA that we know there are of a lot of interest for all of you. At the end of this conference, we'll have a space to answer your questions. They can write them through the window that appears on the right side of their screens. Please write your name and the company you belong to. Virginia is the person who will support us with the presentation. Virginia, please go to the next slide, and I'll give the floor to Juan Emilio, who will present us with the highlights of the quarter. Go ahead, Juan Emilio.
Thank you, Diana. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And doing it on behalf of ISA and the admirable professional and human team that constitutes it is an immense honor for me. To begin with, I invite Virginia to advance to the next slide, please, number three.
Thanks, Virginia. The results I'm going to share with you ratify ISA as a big, important investment alternative. Our results are the reflection of a financial, solid, growing financial result. We closed the quarter and the cumulative year with a very important increase in the main financial indicators. Among them, we have a growth of the net income of 450% compared to the third quarter of the former year. That's 23.5% if we do not take into account the non-recurrent effects of the same quarter of 2021, and then later on we're going to explain the financial part by Gianvairo. Also, the net income of the first 9 months of 2022 grew 45.6% compared to last year, or which is 1.3% if we exclude the non-recurrent effects of 2021. Also, the ROE at September grows from 12.5% to 13.2%, confirming our strategy of sustainable value through time. And we continue strengthening our contribution and leadership in the energy transformation. During this quarter, we energized two projects in Brazil and one in Colombia, and the accumulated investment were $368 million. Also, we were awarded an energy transmission project in Chile that represents an investment of $194 million more. All these projects improve the reliability of the energy transmission sector and also allows to transform renewable sources of energy that are non-conventional from faraway sources to big consumption centers. Let us remember that our higher purpose is to generate sustainable growth, and that of course has an impact on the probability of investment because it complements with a commitment of having a social and environmental impact which is positive in the territories. In these regards, and the ones of generating a positive and social impact, in this year we have invested at the consolidated in the social part $2.1 million and in the environmental part $5.3 million. Later on, Juliana Suso, our Chief Institutional Relations Officer, is going to go in deep in this sustainable value. Virginia, please let's go to the next slide,
to start with investment of this quarter. From now on, we'll refer to figures in Colombian pesos. During the third quarter, we made investments for 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos. Most of them were concentrated in Brazil, where ISA SETEPI continued working on the projects that were awarded in past tenders, including the two lots awarded in June of this year, in addition to its plan of full reinforcement and improvements to the transmission grid. In Colombia, we made progress in the construction of energy transmission projects, among which we have El Río, Sabana Larga Bolívar, La Loma Sogamoso, and Copey Cuestecitas. All of them will strengthen the reliability of the electrical grid of the Caribbean coast, and especially the last two, La Loma Sogamoso and Copey Cuestecitas, will connect non-conventional renewable sources of energy to the national transmission grid. In Chile, in the power transmission business, we made progress in the expanding of ISA Interchile network and in the Kimal-Loaguirre project. On roads, we continue working on the construction of Rutas del Loa and in road improvement and safety works that will generate new income or extensions of the terminal concessions. Finally, in Peru, we made progress in the construction of Coya, Llana, and Chinchanasca projects, and some reinforcements to the Transmantaro Consortium grid. In total, we currently have 32 power transmission projects underway, along an additional 4,900 kilometers of circuit. These represent investments for more than 4.8 billion USD, and when they come into operation, these projects will generate revenues for about $350 million per year. Virginia, please let's go to the next slide, number five. Thank you, Virginia. On the other hand, ISA continues being an enabler of energy transmission through the execution of projects that interconnect non-conventional renewable energy sources to the large consumption centers, and here we can highlight other elements. During this quarter, we energized three projects that meet these characteristics. The first one is the Cerro Matoso-Chinú-Copey project in Colombia, which improves the reliability of the electrical system by connecting generators in the central zone to the country with the Colombian Caribbean. This project, whose investment was of $164 million USD, represents annual income for more than $14 million USD through its 352 kilometers of circuit. Also, ISA SETEPI and TAESA in Brazil, in consortium, put into operation the Paraguaçu Electrical Interconnection. This project represented an investment of $120 million USD, an annual income for more than $26 million USD. This line of 676 kilometer circuit will connect with the Aymuras transmission line, also put into service by ISA SETEPI and TAESA. The third project that connect non-renewable faraway sources of energy with consumption centers is the Biguazu Electrical Interconnection, which came into operation a year before the deadline established by the National Electric Energy Agency, and now of Brazil. It is the only project in Brazil that includes lines with aerial, submarine, and underground sections. Its investment was $84 million, and we represent annual revenues for $9 million. Also, we are very pleased to tell you that ISA won the Quemado Lagunas project in Chile, one of the most important tenders in the country this year. This project will represent a CapEx of $194 million and annual revenues of $15 million. This project is of great relevance in the expansion plan of the Chilean electrical system, since it will transport energy from non-conventional renewable sources from the Quemado substation to the Lagunas substation in the northern part of Chile. Virginia, let's go to slide number six, please. Thank you. Between the remainder of 2022 and 2023, the investment opportunities in tenders amounted to a total of $19 billion. 71% of this pipeline corresponds to the energy transmission business and 29% to the roads business. In a view by country, the largest share of these pipeline opportunities is taken by Brazil with a 56%, driven by the ANEEL auctions that will total $10.7 billion. Second place is occupied by Chile, where we have identified opportunities in the energy business for more than $650 million represented in the tenders of two new transmission lines, plus a battery storage project. For its part, also in Chile, for the road business, we expect to participate in the tenders and retenders of the Ministry of Public Works that exceed $4.3 billion. In Colombia, we'll have calls by the Mining and Energy Planning Unit, UPME, that exceed $150 million, and road tenders for $1.2 billion. In Peru, we have identified opportunities in energy transmission tenders for $1 billion, including the Peru-Ecuador interconnection of great importance for ISA. Virginia, let's go please to slide number seven. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Before going into the highlights of the quarter in terms of ESGs, I want to remind you that sustainability management at ISA is leveraged on the generation of sustainable value in accordance with our ISA 2030 strategy. With this, we seek not only to generate a positive social and environmental impact, but also to improve the competitive position of our businesses, extend their life cycle, and attract new shareholders and investors who are increasingly interested in companies that, in addition to being profitable, financially speaking, also generate a positive impact on the environment and society. Let us then review the highlights of the quarter in terms of ESG. And Juliana is going to go in deep later on. ISA launched the first school for linesmen in Colombia, which will allow 17 women to be trained and certified in maintenance of electrical transmission lines. This program is a pioneer in the country, and it gives opportunity to these women the opportunity to perform a job that has traditionally been done by men, making history in Colombia and in the energy business. Assuming this role, setting an example of tenacity and physical and mental resilience will allow them to offer new positive possibilities to their families. Also, hand in hand with ISA Interchile and ISA Interviel, we continue to advance with our Connection Jaguar program, known in Chile as Connection Puma. During 2022, we started a project to protect more than 20,000 hectares of forest in Chile. In this ecosystem, we are contributing to the conservation of endemic and endangered species. We also seek to reduce up to 223,000 tons of CO2, which will contribute to the achieving of our corporate goal of reducing 11 million tons of CO2 to the planet by 2030. Finally, within our initiative for economic reactivation and with an investment close to $2 million, we have structured projects that support enterprises of rural and indigenous communities in Colombia, benefiting more than 12,600 people in 100 municipalities of this country. Virginia, let's go to the next slide, please, to give the floor to John Vidal Arango, our Chief Corporate Finance Officer. Go ahead, John Vidal. Thank you very much, Juan Emilio. Good morning to everyone. It's a pleasure to share this space with you. Let's go to the next slide, Virginia, please, to check the financial results, which are presented in Colombian pesos. For the third quarter of 2022, operating income, which includes construction and operating income, reached 3.6 billion, 24.1 more than in the same period for 2022. Let's start with operating revenues that amounted to 2.6 billion, 11.1% more than in the same period of the previous year. The reasons for this increase by the business are the following. In roads, there is an increase in income of 81.3% due to the modification in the treatment of the financial asset of the road concession from Chilean pesos to the Unidad de Fomento UF, achieving natural coverage with the debt. These represented additional revenues from 180 billion. Additionally, increases in the performance of the financial assets in the operation and in the collection of tolls. On the other hand, for the business of energy transmission, a reduction of 1.9% was recorded, explained by the effect of the lower consumer price index recorded this quarter in Brazil, which impacted revenues at ISA, Satepi, and its companies by 393 billion. This effect that was reduced in part by greater income in Colombia and Chile due to the favorable behavior of macroeconomic variables and the startup of projects in all geographies as of the fourth quarter of 2021. Construction revenues for this quarter had an increase of 80.3%, explained by the great construction activity in Chile, Peru, and Brazil, a country in which we also had higher construction margins and obtained profits from efficiencies in the energization of projects. EBITDA reached 2.3 trillion, which represented an increase of 14.6% compared to the same period for the previous year. The EBITDA margin without construction stood at 83%. In the accumulated figure, the EBITDA increased by 13.6%, reaching 6.5 billion. The EBITDA margin went from 70.5% to 67.5% and from 83.9% to 83.6% discounting construction. Virginia, let's go to slide number 10, please. Thank you. The net income for the third quarter of the year exceeded 668 trillion, with a growth of 450% compared to the same quarter of 2021. Let's go into the detail of the graph to understand the results. When comparing the net income of the third quarter of 2022 against of 2021, the two components that contribute the most to the increase are, first of all, the operating income for the reason explained in the previous slide, and secondly, a 26% reduction in net financials. Let us remember that in the third quarter of 2021, we registered the reprofiling of Visa Interchile stepped. If we exclude this non-recurring effect, financial expenses would increase by 31.5% due to higher debt to finance growth and increase in the exchange rate difference due to higher development unit, UF, a variable to which it is indexed, debt in the road concessions in Chile. At this point, I would like to point out that if the effect of the reprofiling of Interchile's debt and the change in the income tax rate in Colombia registered in 3Q 2021 are eliminated from the profit remained, the solid results, since profit for the quarter grew by 23.5% and the accumulated profit by 8.3%. We closed the quarter with a net margin of 19% and an annualized ROE of 13.2%, which exceeds the 12.5% reported in the third quarter of 2021. In the accumulated, the net income amounted to 1.8 trillion, 45.6% compared to the same period in 2021. Let's go to the next slide, please. It is important to highlight that ESA's operational strength allows to generate greater cash surpluses at the end of the quarter. The initial balance was 4.7 trillion and during the period, operating cash flows of 8.5 trillion were generated and we received dividends from co-control companies, investment surpluses and debt disbursements for 4.5 trillion. These resources were used to debt service, principal and interest for 5.8 billion, CapEx 2.9 billion, OpEx by 2.8 trillion, tax payment 1 trillion pesos and dividend payments of 550 billion. As of September, the final balance was 4 trillion, 7% more in December 2021, which leaves us with a robust cash position to continue growing and meet our future commitments. Let's go to the next slide, Virginia, please. As of September, the consolidated financial debt amounted to 31 trillion, 11.5% more compared to the end of the previous year. The explanation for this variation has to do with the translation effect that amounted to 3.2 trillion, derived mainly from the depreciation of the peso against the dollar. If this effect doesn't occur, the debt as of September would have a minimal variation in relation to the end of 2021. The main movements so far this year are summarized below. In Brazil, a net indebtedness of about 316 billion generated mainly by ISA Cetepe and its companies who have issued bonds and have acquired bank loans during the year to finance their investments. Chile has reduced its net indebtedness by more than 350 billion in three of that country's road concessions. The debt EBITDA indicator continues to stand at 4.1 times, reflecting adequate levels to maintain the current credit rating with room to continue leveraging our ESA 2030 strategy. Let's go to the next strategy, please. Slide, please. Our plan of investment commitments for the next 5 years beats the 20 billion, 65% more than we had estimated at the beginning of this year. Near to 50% will be carried out in Brazil, which includes the reinforcement and improvement plan for the ISA Cetepe grid, the installation of the battery bank, and the construction of transmission projects, including the lots won in June. The 22% will be invested in Colombia for the construction of energy transmission projects and connection to renewable energy sources. In Chile, the 19% with incorporation of the Quimal Lagunas project and the contributions to the Quimalo Aguirre project, plus the capex necessary for the construction of Ruta del Lobo and regulatory safety works in road concessions. The 9% will be carried out in Peru in the Coya, Llana, and Chincha Nazca projects. These investment opportunities have already been awarded to ISA and its companies. This amount will grow to the extent that we are awarded with new bids or acquire companies in progress, as has happened in the past. Now, I would like to give the floor to Juliana Suso, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, who's going to talk a very important chapter about the sustainability strategy by ESA. Go ahead, Juliana.
Thanks a lot, John Biden, and good morning to all the people who are with us today. Today we want to present the main elements that make up the company's ESG management. We'll take a look at the strategy elements, and if you consider that they require a greater depth of some topics, we can schedule an additional space. Please, Virginia, let's go to the next slide.
Sustainability management at ESA is based on the generation of sustainable value, as our strategy says, and as Juan Emilio told us a moment ago. We have solid methodologies to manage the three focus of ESG. In the environmental component, we seek to make a positive contribution to the environmental challenges that we face today as a society, as a company. From the social part, we have the conviction that the transformation of the territories and the improvement of the quality of life is possible thanks to the contribution to the development of the territories where we have presence. And of course, in the governance management, we strive a corporate governance focused on value creation. These actions are leveraged by our corporate programs, Jaguar, Connections for Development, and the corporate volunteering, and our program, We Are All One. Let's go to the next slide, please, Virginia. During 2021 and 2022, we executed the second measurement of reputation and sustainability. In ESA, we apply a very innovative model that has been very efficient to manage the issues that the company's key stakeholders consider important, and also to understand in depth what is the perception that they have about how ESA manage them. The robustness of this model is leveraged in more than 3,500 queries, interviews, and we also take into account the vision of members of the board of directors of ESA and its company. And this tells us which are the key elements for achieving the business objectives and which are the issues that most could actually destroy trust if not managed. These key aspects are corporate governance, health and safety, social management, environmental challenges, and also we highlight the expectation that ESA will be a leader in the energy transmission. This is how, in the last measurement, ESA achieved a reputation index of 4.4 out of 5, evidence solidity in the addressing key issues, and a high level of trust in the company. Let's go to the next slide, please. We want to highlight some achievements and management of the ESG matters. In the environmental dimension, the climate strategy is carried out under the TCFD guidelines, and our efforts have focused on the reduction of emissions, 1,722 tons of CO2 in this period. Also, in the permanent control of the technology of the SF leaks, which is the main polluting gas of energy transmission. And we have maintained a percentage lower than what is considered by the standard of the International Electrotechnical Commission. The social dimension reaffirms our commitment to the territory. Through investments close to 9 billion Colombian pesos and with significant impacts on development, education, and economic reactivation, we have managed to benefit nearly 36,000 people in more than 100 municipalities in Colombia. And the most relevant thing is that according to the SROI methodology, and that is the social return on investment methodology, these investments, with clear and seriously implemented strategy choices, would be generating a social value of approximately 2.59 times
that investment, becoming an investment that is equivalent to about 23.310 million Colombian pesos. This judicious management has earned us the recognition, among others, of the third place in the ranking of responsible investment in Colombia in the last edition. In the governance dimension, it shows the improvement of the company in its corporate governance, with an outstanding result in its compliance with the guidelines of the country code, an increase in the Dow Jones and FTSE for good sustainability indexes, and the nomination as a leading company in investor relations and sustainability by 2020. The response of Visa to climate challenges and the commitment to the reduction of 11 million tons of CO2 to the planet are sustained through the mitigation hierarchy. The negative impact of our operations is managed from the impact reduction that includes eco-efficiency action, SFC management, and sustainable mobility. Likewise, we offset our emissions by being carbon neutral in Scope 1 and 2. Moving toward positive impact, because we have committed to this contribution, we have a commitment to the new energy businesses and the contributions made from the Award Connection Program, which, in addition to reducing millions of CO2 from the protection of areas, generates the promotion of biodiversity and the protection of fauna and communities with the highest standards of projects of this kind. For each of these action goals have been set for the year 2030, as you can see at the bottom. Let's go to the next slide, please. And let's talk a little bit about how we are doing in those results. As I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Conexión Jaguar is a program that contributes to the preservation of biodiversity, the mitigation of the impact of climate change, the development of rural communities, and the connectivity of the natural habitats of the jaguar and puma in Latin America. This program has goals for the 2023 year, and we share with you the accumulated progress for the year 2022. We'll soon have 10 projects. The potential reductions are more than 7 million tons of CO2, and we have doubled the goal of protected hectares, as well as the goal of benefited families. Also, as today, we have also surpassed the number of families benefit that we have established for 2030. Let's go to the last slide, please. To finish, how others see us, the look of investment analysts regarding this management. What is that level of maturity that we have reached, and what are the goals and ambitions that allows us to improve our performance? As you can see, we have a solid maturity level, having high percentiles in indices so important as Dow Jones Sustainability Index, the MSCI and Sustainalytics, which set goals for the current year and 2030. A continuous management to strengthen our investors' confidence to manage risk and advance in the positive contribution with the planet's and sustainable development goals. Thanks a lot, and I give now the floor to Diana to start with the Q&A part. Thanks a lot, Juliana, for that very complete explanation of these topics, of the ESG topics. Before starting with the Q&A part, we'd like to announce a good news, and is that in our website, in investor section, there is a valuation kit for reasoning companies that we did together with Ecopetrol. The objective of this kit is to allow you the construction of an easier and faster exercise to assess ESG and its company using 100% public information. We invite you to check this kit and contact us to the team
for a better understanding of it. So now let's open the Q&A session. The first question comes from Rukar Shweva, Compra Group, and he says that he would like to know what is our estimate of the impact on the revenues and EBITDA due the modification of the tariffs from the national government. Lucas, thanks a lot for the question. Juan Emilio Posada answering that question. That change in the tariffs that we voluntarily accepted corresponds to a very unusual behavior of the ABB that grow several times faster than the IPC. And please Colombian consumer to pay very high tariffs that weren't according to the real cost and inflation of the production of energy. That's why we thought it was reasonable to accept voluntarily this reduction of fees. And to this, the correct issue resolution that allows us, because it's a very regulated industry, allows us to accept this reduction. The estimated impact for the consolidated of ISA is a reduction of about 2% of the revenues in cash and in generation. Specifically, we're talking about one complete year. In Transelca is 37 billion Colombian pesos, and Intercolombia 223 billion in revenues. Now, specifically the net income, the impact in 2022 is 43 billion Colombian pesos, and in 2023 is 169 billion Colombian pesos. Those impacts do not affect our level of over execution of our financial plans regarding 2022 year and the expected for 2023 as our plan 2030. So even with that impact of the reduction of tariffs, we are over executing our financial plan in revenues and net income. Thanks, Diana. There's a question from one of our shareholders. What is the impact of the tax reform in our financial statements? Thanks, Diana. John Biden, could you please answer that question? Thanks, Juan Emilio. And the impact of the tax reform with the project that was debated is of about 185 billion, 175 coming because of the implementation of the minimum effective rate of the 15%, 6 billion because of the discount in research projects and the elimination of the commerce. We know that today there's a new project for the second debate. We are in analysis to see what's going to be the additional impact or less impact if there's any modifications until what is presented. Thanks a lot, John Biden. Go ahead, Diana. There's a question from Andres Duarte from Coffee Colombiana. He would like to be reminded about the expected regulation for the transmission business in Colombia is using a new reposition of the depreciated asset in the evaluation of the investments. To see, could you give us a little bit of depth about this regard? Of course, Cesar, could you please answer this question? Thanks a lot for the question. Today, what we have valid is the value to reposition to new. What is from 2015 presented by the CREC that has been gone through a lot of different debates and a lot of different projects. It's not an issue yet. We expect that hopefully before the end of the year, there's going to be a resolution for the final proposal. In that regard, what is being debated and the proposal that is on the table is a depreciated asset methodology. But we don't have the final resolution. We expect to be issued at the end of this year or beginning of next year to see if we can apply it from as of 2024. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Andres, for the question. Thanks, Cesar, for the answer. Go ahead, Diana, please. So the next question is from Catherine Ortiz of Corredores da Vivienda. She wants if we clarify a little bit about the tax reform that Joe Biden mentioned. It's going to be for the 2023 year, and it's going to be in the net income. Joe Biden, go ahead. Thanks, Juan Emilio. Yes, the impact that I'm talking about are for the 2023 year. Remember that the tax income has an impact in the next tax period. They're calculated with the projection that we have for the 2023 year. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Jambiter. Go ahead, Diana. Okay. So there's another question, and it has to do with the ISA 2040 strategy. They would like to know how we are doing in the definition of that strategy for 2040. Of course. We have here Patricia Castaño, the Chief Strategy Officer. So please answer. Of course. Thanks a lot, Juan Emilio. Thanks a lot for the question. We are in a series of conversation with our board of directors. We had advanced in the first workshop, and we have for the 22nd of November a second workshop where we'll continue with these deep reflections about the 2040 strategy. What we have defined so far, and what we also believe is very probable, is that our strategy for 2030, and is fundamental, is going to continue valid. We're going to expand the goals. We're going to make it a lot more ambitious, but in the rationales behind the strategy will continue being based upon the 2030. We hope to tell you very soon how is that going to be reflected in the new goals as of 2023. Thanks a lot, Patricia. Thanks, Patricia. And now there is a question from Sergio Segura of Credicorp Capital, and he asks us if we could share the 5G projects where the company is currently interested to participate in Colombia. Of course. We have here Eduardo Larrabe from Santiago de Chile, the Chief Roads Concession Officer. Eduardo, go ahead. Yes, thanks. What happens is that the potential list, it's 11 projects. We analyze in each of them. But I could answer right now which will be the main projects. That's going to depend a lot on the agility that the foundation for those projects are delivered, because we're still waiting for DNI to pronounce about the opportunity for tenders. Of course, our interest is to be part of each of them that are part of the road system, and of course, we're going to be present in all of them. Thanks a lot. Perfect, Eduardo. Thanks a lot. Diana, go ahead. Okay. We don't have more questions so far, so we thank your participation in this presentation of the third quarter results. We hope to see you in future encounters. Thanks a lot for your attendance, and have a great day.